Iranian foreign minister and UN Arab League special envoy to Syria discuss latest developments of the country. Iranian pilgrims kidnapped by Syrian rebels arrive at Tehran International Airport. Bahrainis hold protests to show solidarity with jailed activists. Protesters in Saudi Arabia's capital demand release of political prisoners detained by regime forces. And dozens are killed and wounded in bombings and other terrorist attacks across Iraq. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, Iranian Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi and UN Arab League Special Envoy to Syria, Lakhdar Brahimi, have discussed the latest developments in Syria. During a meeting in the Egyptian capital of Cairo on Thursday, Salehi and Brahimi exchanged views on Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's roadmap for peace, as well as Iran's six-point peace plan to settle the unrest in the country. Salehi pointed to the difficult and sensitive situation in Syria and stressed the importance of making constant and great efforts to resolve the crisis in the country. He also voiced Iran's readiness to cooperate and help settle the ongoing unrest in Syria. He added that Iran has pursued a clear stance on Syrian unrest and has always placed emphasis on finding a national solution without the interference of foreign forces. Brahimi, for his part, said Iran plays a leading role in regional developments, adding that the Islamic Republic's status and influence could be used in line with regional interests. He emphasized that all bids and plans should respect the interests of the Syrian people and the government. During his visit to Cairo, Salehi also met with Arab League Secretary General Nabil Al-Arabi and discussed the latest regional issues, particularly the ongoing unrest in Syria. Meanwhile, the Iranian foreign minister has also discussed bilateral ties and regional developments with Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi. The issue of Palestine as well as the Syrian unrest were also among the topics dealt with by the two officials. In his meeting, Egyptian President also extended an invitation to President Ahmadinejad to attend an Islamic summit scheduled for February 7th in Cairo. Iranian foreign minister also participated in a press conference with his Egyptian counterpart, Mohammad Kamel Amr. They discussed the latest regional developments, including Syria.
We recommended from the very beginning until today that it is incumbent upon any government, including the Syrian government, to meet the demands of its people. Now Syria is in a situation that requires dialogue and negotiations between the Syrian government and the opposition. We hope these negotiations begin before the moment passes. We also hope from the bottom of our hearts that the states in the region meet in order to look into a Syrian solution and prevent any foreign intervention, because foreigners until today have proven they do not wish us well.
Of course, Iran is an influential state regarding Syria case, and so we have made it clear that it can play a key role in this topic, and that this role, if it is undertaken, will be appreciated in the whole region.
Now, 48 Iranian pilgrims who were kidnapped by foreign-sponsored Syrian militants several months ago have arrived at Tehran's Mehrabad Airport. The abductees arrived in Tehran on Thursday afternoon, a day after they were released, in a swap deal between the Syrian government and armed opposition groups. The Iranian pilgrims who were traveling on a bus from Damascus International Airport to the shrine of Hazrat Zainab, peace be upon her, on the outskirts of the Syrian capital, were abducted by the militants on August 4, 2012. In a video aired by the Saudi-owned Al Arabiya television network, the militants threatened to kill all the Iranian abductees if the Syrian government did not release the captured militants and did not stop operations against the armed groups in the country within 48 hours. The threat, however, was never carried out. Syria has been experiencing unrest since March 2011, and many people, including large numbers of security forces, have been killed in the turmoil. The Syrian government says the chaos is being orchestrated from outside the country, and there are reports that a very large number of militants are foreign nationals. Elsewhere in the Middle East, Bahraini protesters have staged demonstrations to show solidarity with over a dozen prominent activists sentenced to jail terms earlier this week. The rallies were held on Thursday in the towns of Bilal al-Ghadim and Sirta, despite the Bahraini regime's continuous crackdown. Bahraini forces tried to disperse the crowd by using tear gas and shotguns. Several people were reportedly injured in the violence. However, the protesters vowed to continue holding anti-regime demonstrations until their demand for a democratically elected government is met. On Monday, Bahrain's top court handed 13 opposition figures jail terms ranging from 5 years to life in prison. The activists were arrested on charges of involvement in anti-regime demonstrations in 2012. Amnesty International has also condemned the move as outrageous and urged the Bahraini regime to overturn the sentences. Meanwhile, the Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman has censured a recent decision by Bahrain's highest court to uphold prison terms for the 13 pro-democracy activists, including 8 life sentences. Nomi Maparas said, unfortunately, Bahraini officials have not been able to solve problems by tightening its security and police atmosphere. Expressing deep concern over the court ruling, Maparas said the current verdicts issued by Bahraini officials would only complicate the situation through their actions. He also stressed the importance of a political approach to resolve Bahrain's problems and called on the officials of the Persian Gulf country to prepare the ground for the serious talks through confidence-building measures. He said these measures shall include the expulsion of foreign military forces and the release of political prisoners. And before we continue, here is a recap of our top stories. Iranian Foreign Minister and UN Arab League Special Envoy to Syria discuss the latest developments of the country. Iranian pilgrims arrive at Tehran's Mehrabad Airport. Bahrainis hold protests to show solidarity with jailed activists. Protesters in Saudi Arabia's capital demand release of prisoners detained by regime forces. And dozens are killed and wounded in bombings and other terrorist attacks across Iraq. People in Saudi Arabia have once again staged a demonstration in the capital, Riyadh, to demand the release of political prisoners detained by regime forces during protests. Demonstrators took to the streets of the capital on Thursday, calling on the Al-Saud regime to free the women and children who were arrested during the recent anti-regime protests. On January 7th, Saudi forces in the northern province of Qassim detained dozens of women and children during an anti-regime demonstration in the city of Buraydah. Amnesty International said on Wednesday that according to reports and photos from the protest, these women and children were merely gathered peacefully and held placards bearing their detained activist name and the length of their detention. Since February 2011, protesters have held demonstrations on almost regular basis in Saudi Arabia, mainly in the Qatif region and the town of Awamiya in Eastern Province, primarily calling on the release of all political prisoners, freedom of expression and assembly, and an end to widespread discrimination. According to Human Rights Watch, the Saudi regime routinely represses expression critical of the government. Now at least 9 people have been killed and 20 others wounded in bombings and other terrorist attacks in the Iraqi capital and the eastern province of Diyala. A car bomb exploded near a police station in Baghdad's predominantly Shia neighborhood of Huria at 8 in the morning. The bombing killed at least 3 people and wounded 14 others. The explosion, which occurred near a bus stop, reportedly ripped through a number of minibuses. In Diyala province, a series of separate shootings and bombings left at least 6 people dead and wounded 6 others. Among the dead were an army officer gunned down inside his house and 2 guards who were killed in bomb blasts that targeted the convoy of Diyala's university president. No group has yet claimed responsibility for Thursday's attacks, which mark a fresh wave of militancy in Iraq. Now, police say the death toll from the twin bombings that ripped through a billiard hall in the city of Quetta in Pakistan's Balochistan province has climbed to 57. Some 170 others have also been reportedly injured in the blast. In other news, 6 people have been killed and several others wounded in a U.S. assassination drone strike in Pakistan's northwestern tribal region of North Waziristan. In yet another drone attack in Pakistan, 4 missiles were fired at a house in North Waziristan on Thursday morning. According to local media, the house was completely destroyed in the attack and the identities of the victims are not yet known. Pakistan's tribal regions are attacked by U.S. drones almost regularly, with Washington claiming that militants are the target. However, casualty figures clearly indicate that the civilians are the main victims. The killing of Pakistani civilians, including women and children, has strained relations between Islamabad and Washington. Over the past few months, massive protests have been held across Pakistan to condemn the United States for violating the country's sovereignty. Now, in Europe, new official data show that Greece's unemployment rate increased to 26.8% in October as the Eurozone country witnesses a sixth year of recession. The Athens-based Hellenic Statistical Service said in a statement on Thursday that 1.3 million unemployed Greeks were registered in October 2012, but Greek's trade unions say many more people are out of work. Over the period of October 2011 through to 2012, some 368,000 people registered as job seekers. Jobless levels in Greece are the highest record recorded in the Eurozone. Last year's October rate broke every record that the State Statistical Agency has recorded since it began monthly reports in 2004. Unemployment among 15 to 24-year-olds went up to 56.6%. The figure had been standing at 46.7% in a year earlier. The European Union and International Monetary Fund have pushed Athens to implement spending cuts and tax hikes in return for a bailout. Many businesses have consequently had to make cutbacks and tens of thousands of others have shut down. According to a prediction by the Bank of Greece on December the 3rd, the country's economy will drop by 4.5% this year. Now, chief economists say EU and International Monetary Fund have miscalculated the effect of 3 years of austerity on Greece's fiscal revenues. My colleague has this scoop.
The chief economist of the International Monetary Fund has admitted that the agency didn't calculate how devastating the austerity measures it wanted to impose would be on the Greek economy and those of other struggling European countries, especially the ones belonging to the so-called umbrella of the PIGS countries. With unemployment hovering over 26% and more than 1 million people without social security, the IMF seems to be pointing at what most Greeks have been experiencing a long while now: poverty and economic contraction. The IMF, along with the European Union and the European Central Bank, have poured more than $300 billion in 2 consecutive bailouts to keep the Greek economy from collapsing, but the deep pay trims, tax hikes and slashed pensions it insists upon cut so much into revenues that it miscalculated how long a recovery would take. This is the voice of Olivier Blanchard speaking through a technical report that looks again at the impact that the rise or fall in government spending or tax collection has on a country's economic output. IMF sources rushed to pinpoint that the paper reflects his own view and not that of the agency. But back home, where impatience is growing within ordinary people, such a report comes as a direct slap at the face of the coalition government, which has chosen to implement most, if not all, harsh measures suggested by the troika of its international creditors. The article explained that if fiscal multipliers are small, countries can cut spending faster or raise more in taxes without much short-term damage. If they are large, then the process can become self-defeating, at least in the short run, with each euro of government spending cuts costing the economy more than a dollar in lost output and thus increasing ratios of debt to gross domestic product.
The IMF chief economist admitted that some changes had to take place to the IMF and Troika program, including miscalculations for the reality on the ground. In Greece, with unemployment hovering over 26% and more than 1 million people with no social security, a social tweak to the austerity program is now more than necessary. Lucas Germanos, Shabaka Khabar, Athens.
Well, that's it for me now. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Goodbye for now.